back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. Flanked to my left, Chris Jarrell, super duper pooper producer. That's my Chris. And our next guest is Nicole Carrier from Throwback Brewery. And I want to apologize to our guests. We've already done a little cutting of the beer. I just tried, see that? I'm already screwing up my words. The spicy Bohemian beer, which is made with jalapenos. And both Alex Cooper and I both say, wow, pretty unique. And I'm not a beer drinker. So welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Right. Tell us about Throwback Beer or Brewery.
Sure. We are a little brewery located in Northampton, New Hampshire. So it's the town most people forget between like Rye and Portsmouth and Hampton, New Hampshire. We got going about 6 years ago. We started as a little nano brewery with the intent of making beer from ingredients within 200 miles of the brewery. And fast forward 6 years, we have a beautiful farm. We actually returned it to a working farm. We have a restaurant now as well as the brewery.
Oh, nice. So people come for the day and they hang out at the farm?
Yep. You can hang out in the beer garden. You could look at the fields, watch our farmer farming, and have some great food and beer as well.
So tell me, how'd you get into this business?
Let's see. Probably around 2001, started homebrewing with my co-founder, Annette. And we decided eventually that we wanted to start a business to support our love of brewing with supporting local farms and agriculture. So homebrewing was actually the way that we got into it. Annette is a really great engineer, so she sort of fell in love with the science part. I love to cook, and I'm the MBA half. It sort of became a nice combination of interest that helped us get going.
And why'd you pick beer?
I really love beer. I mean, there's so many...
Well, beer's better than wine because I know wine is a finite product. You can only make so much, but beer, it's infinite. You can make almost unlimited amounts of beer.
How is that?
Well, my experience in consulting the brewers, yeah, you can produce a lot of beer if you gear up.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that with wine. You can only grow so many grapes on the land.
Yeah, well, beer is also, it's an agricultural product, as is wine. Unfortunately, in New England, there's only so much grain being grown. But the size that we're at, we're still able to, use local barley and wheat and hops. But how'd we get going? Like I said, it was just homebrewing. Annette was an environmental engineer for 20 years, and she was looking for sort of what's next. Had lots of interesting ideas, and this is the one that we ended up settling on.
Right. And so how long have you been doing it for?
6 years.
So you're a going concern, correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
How many people do you have on staff now?
In the summer, it's close to 40.
That's people. A lot of people.
It is a lot of people, yes. Yeah. A lot of it's part-time, front of the house. In the farm, we have 2 full-time, some part-time help. Kitchen, we have about 9 people.
So are you growing your own sort of product for the beer?
We have a hop yard. We'll grow some of the adjuncts for our beer. So for example, we have a rhubarb wit. So the products that go into the beer, like rhubarb, will come from our field, for example. And then we work with local farmers for the jalapeno pilsner you talked about. We work with a local farmer to get the jalapenos for that.
Oh, that's really nice. It's a close farm to table process.
It is, absolutely, yeah.
Is that on your can? The cans are beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
If people look at our website, they can see the can. The cans are really nicely designed, very unique, very artistic.
Oh, thanks.
Is that done in-house too?
No, I work with a great designer out of Portsmouth Graphic Details, and they worked on the can design with us, which is actually we're really happy with the way they came out. Up until about a couple years ago, you would have to get all your cans painted, right? But with smaller breweries, it's not really cost effective. A minimum order of cans is 155,000 cans, which takes up a lot of space
and a lot of money.
A lot of money, yeah.
Right.
And we saw some breweries about a year ago starting to slap some labels on cans. So we thought, why not get our cans painted orange? And then our label is basically see-through, so it doesn't, when you're looking at it, you have to look up close to actually see that it's a label that's on the can.
Yeah,
but it gives us a lot of flexibility.
I only know from the back of the can. Rubbing your finger here, Chris.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah.
So it's adhered to the can, to the orange can.
Yep.
If I hadn't gone to the edge,
you wouldn't know.
I wouldn't have known because it's so smoothly adhered to.
Yep.
That's a really neat process. Expensive can?
Expensive. I guess a little bit higher price point than your average can, given sort of the ingredients are sourced locally.
So are you selling on tap? Are you selling retail distribution as well, or is it just at the farm?
We sell probably like 87% or so right from our farm. And then the rest we self-distribute in New Hampshire. We're working with a...
Smart. You self-distribute.
Yeah, we self-distribute.
I think that's really smart for a microbrewery.
It is, yeah. And it also, not only from a margin perspective, but also from... We get to interact with our customers face-to-face and get feedback from them.
I look at it directly. From the other side. I'll be more negative than you. My experience in your category has been that when you're a microbrewery and you're with a distributor, you're lost within that distributor. You're just not a priority.
Yeah, I mean, it depends upon the distributor and how hot your brand is. But for the most part, you're sort of locked. You're in that relationship forever, you know.
Right.
Some distributors now are saying, you know, they'll let you get out of it if you want to. But
so is your goal to stay just in New Hampshire, or are you now, like, you're here right now in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
You know,
we're
the evil empire for New Hampshire.
Well, all you guys come to us to buy beer, so because of our taxes, but or lack thereof. We are looking at partnering with a small distributor in Massachusetts just to send some cans down to get a little bit more awareness in this market. Really, the ultimate goal for us is to have people discover us, discover our brand, and then want to make a weekend of coming up to Portsmouth area, which is beautiful, especially in the summer, visit our farm.
More restaurants per capita.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
true.
Claim to fame.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Which actually is kind of a good thing for us because downtown Portsmouth gets so busy that a lot of our customers live around Portsmouth and we have parking, so they don't actually have to trek into downtown, you know, take 20 minutes to find parking. They can just drive over, park, and get as good a meal as they can in downtown Portsmouth.
You haven't said it, but it sounds like a nice family business or a family culture that you've built.
It is, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it's great. Our employees, you know, for better or worse, seem like family. It's everyone wants to hang out after work, and it's been very rewarding for that in that aspect.
Oh, that's very nice. So give us a sense of where the business is going. Where will we see in the next couple of years? More products? Other categories?
Yeah. Well, this year...
Food products, since you're on a farm?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple things. This year is really the year of the farm. We expanded our farming. We got pigs and some pygmy goats. We got more chickens. It's kind of neat. Like, you could... we talk about drink a beer, feed a pig, right? Because there's grain.
There's a lot of one-liners that could come from that.
I guess so, yeah. When you brew the beer, there's grain left over, which will go to farm animals, and pigs are one of the biggest consumers of grain. So we have that byproduct already. So we're feeding the pigs, and then we make a lot of sausage in-house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so in terms of food products, that's one of my things that I've been doing for the past several years is making all the sausage recipes, working with our chef. So that's the next thing we're looking into, is having other products coming from our farm and also inspired by beer. And sausage is a great one because a lot of our sausages, we put our beer in it or we put spent grain in it, but sausage also can pair very well with the beer as well.
Okay, we're on 93 or 95 North. Tell us how to find you.
Okay. head up 95 North and take exit 12 and shortly thereafter, you take a right, but it's, you could look it up at 7 Hobbs Road in Northampton.
Sounds like the perfect application, especially with the graphics, for some kind of food truck one day too.
Maybe a food truck, yeah.
I could see, you know, that can is just a beautiful application for a food truck. And I guess it would have to be stationary in the right place, like a fairground with beer being sold and sausage.
Yeah, maybe in Massachusetts, because New Hampshire is a little bit more strict about those right kind of rules. But maybe a good way
north,
to enter this
go
market.
North to Quebec. There's no rules. Well, again, it's great having you on the show. Will you come back again?
Sure.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been speaking with Nicole Carrier of Throwback Brewery. You know what? I'm not a beer drinker. I like the beer. If I did drink beer, I would be drinking the Throwback. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about you in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.